Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, who founded the Krakow JCC and when was it opened? Krakow's Jewish Community Center, in the heart of the centuries-old Jewish Kazimierz neighborhood, is playing an increasing role in fostering the post-communist renaissance of Polish Jewry. Since its opening, the center has offered an increasing variety of activities to the Jewish community there. A big banner outside, in English and Polish, displays the center's motto, "Building a Jewish Future in Krakow," and invites passers-by to stop in and say hi. The JCC welcomes Polish Jews, foreign visitors, and non-Jews, many of whom have recently discovered their own Jewish roots and who are interested in learning more about Judaism. Jonathan Ornstein, its executive director, has been with the JCC since its beginning. He spoke with us about its surprising origin, many activities, and the unique place it has in Poland's Jewish revival. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Jonathan. Could you give us a little bit about your own background, where you're from, and how you ended up here?
Sure. So I grew up in New York City. I actually grew up Orthodox, but at a young age, that wasn't really for me. So that was a bit of a complicated aspect of my Jewish identity. I moved to Israel after university, made Aliyah, and was living on a kibbutz. I was in the Israeli army for a couple of years, and then when I was living on the kibbutz near Eilat, a beautiful kibbutz called Yot Vita, and I met a Polish woman who was a volunteer on my kibbutz. I fell in love. I moved to Poland to be with her. Didn't work out with her, and then I stayed here in Krakow, and I've been here in Poland for almost 13 years.
Krakow is one of those places that seems to be like a magnet. I mean, once you're here, you can't leave.
Absolutely. Krakow is a beautiful, beautiful city, and I find a lot of people don't know about Krakow, or they don't know that much about it, and they come here and they fall in love with it. I think it's interesting. It has a city of about 800,000 for the population, and about 200,000 students, so it's a very, very, kind of feels like a big, like in the American sense, like a big college town or something. Wherever I go, I'm 44, wherever I go, I'm the oldest person I go.
Is there an active Jewish life here?
Very active. So we have a community that's growing rapidly, not based on immigration, but based on people finding out about their Jewish roots. So you have a community that went underground here during communism, especially at a certain point in 1968, and a lot of people left. And the ones who stayed changed their names. They stopped telling their children that the children were Jewish. They told the children if they knew not to talk about being Jewish. And that went on for about 20 years till the end of communism. And now there's an incredibly pro-Jewish environment here in Poland, especially in Krakow, and young people are finding out about their Jewish roots. We have, a very, very vibrant, growing, thriving Jewish community here.
During that time, was there the phenomenon of crypto-Judaism? I mean, were there people who kind of did things secretly in their house and they didn't tell anybody about it? Or, I mean, within the family, they kept it kind of a secret, but they continued to celebrate Jewish holidays and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I guess a parallel a little bit to Spain. Here, what we found very often is that they kept doing those things without telling anybody why. So, which I think that you see in Spain over the generations, people are lighting candles and don't realize why they're lighting candles. So here we have something quite similar, that you have people doing things in their family, or we hear stories of somebody that was never allowed to eat. They weren't kosher, they ate ham and pork and everything, but they never ate milk and meat together. And then when they realize that they have some Jewish roots, then the light bulb goes on over their head and they start to understand why all these strange family things that they didn't quite understand for a generation or two, or that their grandparents did when they visited their grandparents, because here it's, of course, a more recent in history than we're talking about as compared to Spain. So they find stuff like that out. So it's fascinating. So we really are here talking about a situation. It's almost as if you would have gone to Spain in the 16th century, I think, instead of, you know, 21st century, and saying, wait a minute, who's Jewish? How many people are Jewish? And officially, you know, no one's Jewish, but everybody knows this guy down the block is Jewish, and this one and that one. So that's where we are right now in Krakow, an interesting point of an incredibly pro-Jewish environment here. It's very safe and easy to be Jewish. The non-Jewish community is very receptive. So because it's a very tolerant, open, safe, good place to be Jewish, those people with Jewish roots not only are finding out, which isn't really enough, but they're acting on it.
Well, and then I imagine that since it was under communism, they didn't have the problem of having to convert to Christianity.
Right. People didn't convert generally. But here we find what's interesting is that most of the Jews that stayed in Poland after this sort of anti-Semitic kind of wave in 1968 stayed because they were in mixed marriages. So almost everybody here was married to somebody. If there were two Jews in a relationship, they left almost often. So the ones who stayed generally stayed because they have more complicated family situation. And then we find that they raise their children probably more Catholic, because if you're going to stay in Poland, and that was, you know, that was sort of the deal, you weren't going to be openly Jewish. If you wanted to be openly Jewish, you would have left. So we find that it wasn't necessarily conversion from the government point of view, but it was about, oh, you wanted to be like everyone else, and that was the deal. If you stayed in Poland, then you weren't going to be Jewish. If you wanted to be Jewish, then you didn't stay in Poland.
So then these people who are going back to Judaism and might be from mixed marriages, are they having problems with the Jewish community?
It depends what we mean by the Jewish community. Here we have the official Jewish religious congregation in Krakow, which is about 100 members. But you don't have to be halachically Jewish to join. And they have the same membership criteria that we do here at the JCC, and we have 500 Jewish members here at the building. So, of course, like anywhere else in the Jewish world, or even in Israel, you know, to be an Israeli citizen, you need a Jewish grandparent. If you walk into a synagogue, then that's an Orthodox synagogue, then that's a little bit different. So we have those same issues here, but those are issues everywhere in the Jewish world, I think.
Well, the issues of marriage and children and that whole thing.
Yeah, these are complicated issues. So for us, we're looking at people here at the JCC of Jewish, in some Jewish sense. So someone with a Jewish grandparent for us is Jewish or Jewish enough. That person isn't, you know, Jewish enough to participate fully in Jewish religious life. But if you think about it, in the United States, Reform Judaism is patrilineal, is accepted. And then in the rest of the world, in Reform Judaism, it isn't. So these same issues, you know, we think are so, you know, are local issues, but these are really international Jewish issues. If you get on a plane in London and your father is Jewish, you're a Reformed Jew. If you get on a plane in New York, you're Jewish. When you land in London, you're no longer Jewish in that sense. So these are issues that the whole Jewish world is struggling with, and we struggle with them as well. And I think when you're a smaller community, you feel those issues more because everyone knows everybody, and it's you know, you don't have the numbers, and that's a big, if 10 Jews here are in that situation, it's a bigger percentage than if 10 Jews are in that situation in Brooklyn or something.
Tell us about the JCC. When was it founded, and why, and by whom? What's its mission?
So the JCC has a pretty cool creation story, really. It was founded by Prince Charles, by the Prince of Wales. So in 2002, he was here on a state visit, and as part of his visit, he met with some older Holocaust survivors, and he was very moved by their history, and he wanted to do something to help. And they told him that they didn't have a place to be together, like a senior citizens club. And he told them, he promised that he would help them realize their dream of this place that they could all gather. And he went back to the UK, and he got involved with an organization called World Jewish Relief, which used to be called the Central British Fund for German Jewry. And they were the main organizer of the Kinder Transport that saved a lot of Jews at the beginning of the war, Jewish children. And they together with the JDC, with the Joint, who they work with closely in Europe, they took a look at Poland, and they realized it wasn't only these older people, it wasn't only a community of sort of senior citizens, Holocaust survivors trailing off, that there were young people starting to find out about their Jewish roots. And they went back to Prince Charles with a counter-proposal, and they said, maybe we'll do something like a community center, like a JCC, instead of only for senior citizens. And he said, okay, and he gave some money, and he became the patron of the project, and they were able, with Prince Charles' involvement, the project became a lot more viable. They were able to raise the money, and in 2008, the Prince and Camilla and Duchess of Cornwall came out to Krakow and opened the JCC and spent the day with us, and I was the Prince's host for the day, which was pretty cool. So that was we've been open for 6 years. We have now 500 Jewish members, 33 staff about, and we have, what's amazing to a lot of people when they hear it, is we have 50 non-Jewish volunteers. So this incredible interest in all things Jewish, you know, as I mentioned in Poland today, of these non-Jews who are trying to explore Jewish life and to their Polish history and the Jewish-Polish history, and also help us build Jewish life. So that's sort of how the center was founded, and what's in terms of what's going on here. We have a baby nursery, Sunday school, we have a young adult student club, we have a middle-age club, which we don't call the middle-age club because it wouldn't be a great name. We call it the Schmooze. We have a senior citizens club in the building. They have dedicated space in the building. They have their own programming, arts and crafts, computers, sewing, languages, rehabilitation, physical rehabilitation. We have over 100 Holocaust survivor members here at the JCC out of 500 members. We do Shabbat dinner every week for about 70 or 80 local people. We do once a year a big Shabbat dinner during the Jewish Culture Festival here in Krakow, which is the biggest Jewish festival in Europe. We did a Shabbat dinner for 430 people. So we have kosher kitchen here in the building. We do all the catering. We have Hebrew classes. We have Yiddish. We have a Yiddish speakers group, which are younger students, Jewish and non-Jewish, learning Yiddish and speaking Yiddish with the older native speakers. We have Arabic class. We have a Japanese class. We have a genealogist to help people find their Jewish roots. We have a rabbi who has his classes here and for Jews, for non-Jews. When he's here, he has services here in the building. So it's really, there's a lot going on. We're also really the Jewish visitor center of Krakow. We have about 7,000 visitors a month coming through the building. So it's very, very busy, just growing nonstop. And for us, it's just a question of capacity and how to deal with all the numbers and how to deal with all the people coming through.
Are most of the people who participate in the activities natives, let's say, of Krakow, or are they students who are studying here, or are they foreigners who are here for short periods of time?
Mostly Poles, students who come. Krakow is a big university town, so it's a magnet for these students to come, who come from wherever they come in Poland and they want to study here. So a lot of them are students, but a lot of the students stay. So they're usually coming from smaller towns, and then they'll stay in Krakow or try to stay in Krakow. And natives, some people that are visitors, some Fulbright scholars or people that are on exchange programs, students here for a year. But mostly we're talking about Poles with Jewish origin.
Because I noticed that outside you have very big signs that say, welcome, come, visit us in English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we're trying. That's kind of our role, I guess, as the visitor center as well with these 7,000 visitors a month. Krakow, there's so much Jewish tourism here. You know, you have an intact Jewish neighborhood, which you don't have anywhere else in Europe, 7 renovated pre-war synagogues that you can go to all within a 10-minute walk of the JCC. So many Jewish tourists come through because we are next to Auschwitz. We are the Jewish community center down the road from Auschwitz. So you have a huge amount of tourism coming through. So we want to make sure that all of those people come in and see life, that they don't only connect to the past, not only see Krakow as a Jewish museum, you know, or only see Jewish Poland through the prism of Auschwitz, but they come through the building. So we get a fair amount of tourists, local as well as a huge amount of tourists from abroad, Jewish tourists, Jewish groups, individuals.
So this is a visitor center. So if someone comes, what do they see?
We try to connect them to Jewish life. So often if there are groups, we have different synagogues that will come through from all over the world, and we'll have them meet with local community members, share a meal, Shabbat, or during the week. Just in the reception, we give people information, and we try to talk to them about what's going on. And we want to make sure that anybody who comes to Poland from a Jewish point of view or to explore Jewish topics in Poland understands that there's three things that they need to connect to, three streams of the narrative. One is the loss, the Shoah, and what happened to the community here. The other is 1,000-year Jewish history here, where Jews have been here for a long time. And then the third is the revival, which we are really focused on. So we want people to understand that there's a growing, thriving Jewish community here, which is not something that people expect to find. Generally in the West, we grew up with an idea of Poland being only a place of loss and only a place of tragedy. And we're trying to show that it's one of the few places in the world where it's easier, safer, and better to be Jewish every day.
Do you have a direct relationship with the religious community here, or do you mostly, let's say, take care of cultural activities and the synagogues take care of the religious aspect?
Well, we work with everybody. We have synagogue services here as well. We have a modern Orthodox rabbi that's connected to the JCC, who is a representative of the chief rabbi of Poland, and when he's here, sometimes he has the services here. But we're open for everybody. We're definitely a non-denominational. We just want to be Jewish. And so whoever wants to come in and use the building, we have groups from Haredi to liberal reform using the JCC. We have a reform Beit Din here recently. They use the building. So we see ourselves as trying to serve the whole Jewish community and anybody who's interested in anything Jewish.
Is there any similar organization in any other part of Poland?
They opened a JCC recently in Warsaw, which is a beautiful facility. Looks kind of like ours, open, very colorful, welcoming, which is a project of JDC, and that opened in October. So it's very nice for us. We're very happy that we have now a sister JCC here in Poland.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have forgotten?
Maybe. I think that for us it's important. We feel that as our small JCC here in Krakow, we feel that we have a voice in terms of the contemporary idea of the Holocaust, the contemporary role of the Holocaust in Jewish identity. And we feel that our building is, or in the center, in this institution, what's going on here, is the most visible sign, really one of the most visible signs in the world of the resilience of the Jewish spirit. And that a community is thriving, which is, you know, wide open and inviting people in. And as you see, as you mentioned, the signs outside, trying to get as many people in from the street and just walk in and connect. And this is going on down the road from Auschwitz. And we feel that our message here is very much that we're not Jewish because of Auschwitz, we're Jewish despite Auschwitz. And we think that as we move forward, we're at a sort of a point of reckoning, really, in terms of the role of the Holocaust. And we want to say that the Holocaust doesn't define who we are, that we're, you know, we as a people have never allowed ourselves to be defined by tragedy. We are defined by how we move forward past tragedy. And this center, I think, is an important place for that, because we have a lot of not only tourists that come through, but a lot of very important, very influential people that come through this building. And I think that the message that they get, and our educational message for all these groups, is a message of life. And we think that it's important for us that as we move forward, our Jewish identity isn't based too much on tragedy, that we don't let others define us, we define ourselves. And I think this JCC has an important role to play in that dialogue.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.